From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in February 2008 when a 22-year-old man was riding his bike home from work. 2 days prior, Asif Rahman had started a new job at a school in New York City. The paraprofessional's goal was to someday become a music teacher. In addition to music, Rahman loved his bicycle. As he was riding at home on Queens Boulevard that winter day, Asif was hit by a truck, and he died at the scene. His mother told media outlets, quote, "I was waiting for him to come home. He will never come home. I still wait every day to hear his voice, but he doesn't come home and say, 'Hi, Mom.' He will not say that anymore. He was killed by a reckless truck driver," end quote. As NPR has reported, Queens Boulevard used to be called the Boulevard of Death. More than 100 pedestrians have been killed there. The 12-lane speedway did not have a bike or pedestrian lane, but that changed in 2014 when New York City became the first city in the country to adopt what's called a Vision Zero plan. Vision Zero is a strategy aimed at eliminating all traffic fatalities and all severe injuries. It originated in Europe. The approach recognizes that some crashes may be inevitable, but there are changes that could be made to make those crashes less dangerous and deadly. From lowering speed limits to narrowing lanes, the Vision Zero strategy has now been adopted by dozens of U.S. cities. Rochester is one of the newest on the list. Does it work? NPR's reports that maybe. NPR's reports that while some cities have seen, quote, a remarkable drop in roadway fatalities, many others who've adopted Vision Zero have not. Nationally, traffic deaths are on the rise. And some of that has to do with just implementation. Not every city who claims to be Vision Zero is doing exactly the same thing. So when you hear Vision Zero, what does it mean? And what will it mean in a place like Rochester? We're talking about that with our guests this hour. Let me welcome them now. Mitch Gruber is a member of Rochester City Council. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Rich Perrin is commissioner, not a member. He's the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Services at the University of Rochester. I would never demote you.
The city of Rochester.
The city of Rochester. I would never demote you.
I'm proud to be a member of that team. It's a great team I got. I'm also a member, so good to be here with you, Evan. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Cody Donahue, Director of Policy and Advocacy for Reconnect Rochester. Hello, Cody.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Evan.
Evelyn Evans is a member of Black Girls Do Bike. Hello, Evelyn.
Hi.
So just off the start here, I want to stress again, you can find at the Vision Zero Network a map, and I'm looking at it right now, of cities across the country, and there are dozens of green dots now. Vision Zero communities. Texas has a bunch. Florida's got some. New York City's got just New York City and now Rochester. But, you know, there's a lot now. And not every city's doing it the same way. So when we talk about, you know, kind of these up and down results, understand it's not always apples to apples. But Mitch Gruber, as a member of Rochester City Council, why is Vision Zero appealing to you? Let's start there.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a moment just to share the story, a little bit of how we got here.
Yeah.
And I would also tell people, I'll probably say it a few times, but cityofrochester.gov/vision-zero, you can see the whole plan on there. I came to this work in particular because we had seen so many deaths in the city of Rochester, pedestrian, bicyclists, fatal crashes and near fatal as well. And I began to really explore the idea of automated enforcement. I think that there's a very clear sense that right now people are simply completely disregarding traffic signals. We see it all the time. It's not like it was 5 years ago. There's something inherently different about this moment than it was pre-pandemic, frankly. And a lot of research, there's a lot of reasons for that. We can talk about that a little bit. But one of them, I think pretty much unquestionably, is a major reduction in enforcement efforts by cities, in part because of police departments being pulled in different directions, in part because some police departments said this is not a place that we want to prioritize because of some really bad incidents that did happen with traffic stops. A lot of reasons, a complex issue. As I started to work on this with Mayor Evans, Commissioner Perrin, and eventually with Reconnect, I was convinced by a lot of people that automated enforcement can only be one part of the entire picture. And I want to give Commissioner Perrin a lot of credit for helping me understand how it fits into a larger picture. And that's what Vision Zero is. It is essentially, as you said, Evan, all Vision Zeros look a little bit different. It is a commitment by a city to put in the appropriate policy levers, the appropriate investments to bring fatalities down to zero. And ours looks very different from everyone else's. And I encourage people to go look at it. We'll talk about our 10-point plan here today. But that's how I approached it. It wasn't saying I want to achieve Vision Zero. It was I want to end what we're seeing outside every day, which is people sitting at red lights and just saying, you know what, I don't care, I'm going for it.
Yeah,
we all see it, it's empirical. And so we need to have something to address it, and one thing alone won't do it, and this plan is multifaceted to get us there.
We're gonna work through what those facets are this hour, that's why we're here. But let me start with, I think, a really important set of comments that were made by Leah Shahoum, who's the founder of the Vision Zero Network. She talked to NPR. And she talked about the mixed level of success. And she was very blunt about communities and even drivers that don't want to slow down. So here's what Leah Shahoum said about why some communities that have tried to adopt Vision Zero have not been successful. She says, quote, "The main reason that communities are failing, there's not the will to make the changes that are, in the end, probably going to slow people down driving. And there's probably going to be pushback. That pushback can take a couple of forms." And so, end quote. And NPR goes on to say, that pushback looks like local residents who complain about losing parking spaces for a new bike lane, or drivers who say they already don't like their commute times, they don't want to slow down on the way to work. They don't want any longer commutes at all. Shahoum went on to say, quote, "There's no reason we can't be making Vision Zero work in this country, but it's going to take a lot more than press releases and platitudes. It's going to mean really prioritizing safety over speed," end quote. You agree with that, Mitch?
Yeah, 100%. And this is cultural, right? It's about the culture of transportation in Rochester. It's not something that City Hall can do by ourselves. I mean, that's the reason why we have incredible partners like Black Girls Do Bike, Reconnect Rochester, et cetera. But at the end of the day, City Hall needs to say, we want to lead on this. We're putting an effort in to do this. And I'm very proud to work alongside Mayor Evans, Commissioner Perrin, and I got to say, you know, my colleagues and I came on your show recently to talk about what we call a PAC for the people. It's five members of council, and one of the core tenets of that was Vision Zero, and we're very serious about it.
Are you worried about pushback from drivers, from people who don't want more bike lanes, want more parking spaces, want faster speed limits?
Commissioner Perrin, I see it every month. There is pushback from people. There's pushback from sometimes some of my colleagues. You know, before either of the two of us were in city government, and I don't know about either of your two memory on this, but, you know, there was a big push to do a major road diet on Lake Avenue, which is our version of Queens Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I saw it this morning, by the way.
Precisely.
I was driving down Lake Avenue going, what is happening in some drivers' minds here?
So we don't need to look far for this. It was 10 years ago, there was a plan to do a road diet, and it was absolutely pulverized by the community. Many residents of Charlotte, I think a lot of whom said, we don't want to go slower because of our commute times. That it's incumbent upon us now to build the will for this, but also to say, we have to keep moving on making the city safer.
Rich, you want to add to that? I mean, I take Mitch's point that Mitch is no stranger to pushback or people who don't like ideas. I'm sure you hear it too. But you got the founder of the Vision Zero Network saying, entire communities have struggled at times with this, and it has blocked success at times.
It absolutely has, and I would say that if you look on the Vision Zero Network website, they give nine components of a strong Vision Zero commitment. And that's what that is. It's a commitment, and the very first one is political commitment. It's, are the elected leaders of a community, whether it be a city, town, village, county, are they willing to step up and recognize exactly what you just said, which is people aren't going to like this. It's going to be something different. It's not going to be everybody, though. And, you know, it's interesting. I think it was the Rhode Island Department of Transportation. Now, keep in mind that the state of Rhode Island has a population less than the Genesee Finger Lakes region. But still, this is an entire state. And they went out and they asked people on the street. They said, how many people do you think are killed in the U.S. each year as a result of traffic incidents? Right, and I'm not calling them accidents, they're crashes. There's nothing accidental when you're not paying attention or driving at an unsafe speed. But they went out and they asked everybody, and they started out, how many people do you think die in the country? And I'll look to Cody, I think it's probably around 40 to 45,000 a year. Is that about what it is? Yes. So then people came up with guesses from nationally, from 1,000 to say a million or something like that. Then they said, okay, they gave them the right number, and they said, okay, what do you think it is in the state of Rhode Island? And they gave a number, and then they gave it to him what it actually was. And they said, what do you think is an acceptable number of traffic deaths? And everybody had their own individual answer. Then the last question they asked was, what are the acceptable number of traffic deaths among your family and friends? The answer was zero. You got it. So when this becomes personal, that's when people convert. We can't wait for that. We can't wait for every person to be personally affected or touched by a traffic fatality or serious injury. And there's going to be pushback. But we have gone out and we've done extensive work through our active transportation. Before that, a comprehensive access and mobility plan just for transportation that was done prior to the completion of the city's comprehensive plan, Rochester 2034, and informs that as well. So we've gotten the public feedback. We know that it's there. But you're right. Sometimes the loudest voices are heard. And we are very much a car-centric community. That is everywhere, whether it's in, you know, places with amazing mass transit, not just public transportation, but mass transit, like New York City and other areas. And it kind of comes down to Maslow's golden hammer, right? If all you have is a hammer, then the solution is always a nail. And that's what I would say is, you know, we've done this. We've seen the impact of cars, the idea that, you know, just add more capacity, more lanes. Well, what we found was that induces demand. So we can do the opposite of it by narrowing things and having what's called the disappearance effect, where there are some trips that won't be made and others will find alternative routes. We're looking at that with like Interloop North. But we know there's going to be pushback. We go out, we do the extensive community engagement, and not just listen to the loudest voices, but try and get those who have been disproportionately impacted by traffic fatalities and serious injuries, which are our communities of color and our communities of people of lower income. So, you know, when you really look at it, these are the people that traditionally have not been well represented in the engagement process. And when you start speaking with them and say, and you find that one out of four households in the city of Rochester doesn't have access to a private automobile, that's really almost makes this not just something we should be doing, but it's an imperative. And that's what we recognize. And Cody can speak to it. You know, Reconnect Rochester has been pounding this drum, transportation justice. And when we're going to hear that, you're going to hear that more and more. It's one of the key ingredients, I would say, in the recipe that we're using for Rock Vision Zero. And we have to do it.
And when we talk about engagement and pushback, I echo the commissioner's point about political will. It's here. It's like it is evident in this document, right? This is with the mayor. It's with, I believe, all of city council, but at least myself, President Melendez, Vice President Harris, Councilmember Patterson, Councilmember Monroe have all really talked about Vision Zero. I can say that with certainty. But we also now have organizations that maybe we didn't have in 2013, this last Lake Avenue opportunity. So we're going to be relying on people like Cody and Evelyn and the organizations that they represent to help us with the engagement on this because we can't do it alone.
Well, Cody Donahue, Director of Policy and Advocacy for Reconnect Rochester. What is your short description of Vision Zero for people who haven't heard of it? And then I'd like to hear some of your take on dealing with, you know, generating political will and dealing with pushback from drivers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first, Reconnect Rochester just wants to say thank you to Mayor Evans, Councilman Gruber and Commissioner Perrin and the whole hardworking DS staff for, you know, advancing this important initiative. We felt like it was an important way to take the next step and bring Rochester to the next level on operationalizing traffic safety. We've been trending in the wrong direction for many years. The pandemic exacerbated that. But you know, in 2023, we saw record levels of pedestrians and bicyclists, people walking, people biking on our streets that were killed. And so we think, when we say, well, you know, what is Vision Zero and why is it important? Well, it is the moral authority of the city government, but it also brings together a variety of departments who have functional responsibility for safety in the city, improving safety for all people. And Reconnect Rochester is most concerned, of course, about the vulnerable users, the folks that are outside of a vehicle, outside the car and the truck, people that are walking to transit. And as Commissioner Perrin said, folks who may not have any access to a personal vehicle and are relying on RTS, they're relying on walking or getting a ride from a friend. Vision Zero, I think, is very important for recognizing that it's a comprehensive approach that is required in order to deal with making our public realm a safer place to travel, regardless of your mode. There's not one single intervention. We know speeds are important. Speed, you know, reducing speed is very important. We know that street design is very important. But we also know that experiences around the world and around the United States show that accountability is also important. When somebody is doing a behavior in a vehicle that is putting you at risk, you want to see that person held accountable for those behaviors. So I think having that comprehensive approach, the moral authority of the mayor and the city government are really important. But to everybody's points here, I think the one key thing we're recognizing right off the bat to make Vision Zero a success is to ensure that residents in the city of Rochester who have been silent about the public health crisis that is traffic violence, who have been impacted or a family member have lost their livelihoods because they've been injured in a car crash, that they are given a space to speak out. We're asking residents to show their support, whether they post it on social media or they call the city council or the city government and say, we support you in doing this. We think there are people who have not, you know, have felt disempowered and were not, didn't have a place to channel that that angst and that energy, who will speak up in support of making sure that driver behavior is changed and improved to make the streets safer. And I would say that, you know, driving is a culture. Driving is a social norm. You react to the way other people drive. You adapt your driving behavior based on what other people are doing. And we can change that. I mean, how many times do you go to different cities and you realize you look around and you say, oh, people in Chicago drive like this or people in Boston drive like that? And I think it's just evidence that, you know, we can have a different way of driving and change those behaviors in Rochester.
Evelyn Evans, a member of Black Girls Do Bike. I know you're here supporting Vision Zero. Why?
We are here supporting Vision Zero today because as a person on a bicycle, I watch when I'm in my vehicle how people do not respect the bike lanes. We've done a lot of work in a lot of areas in Monroe County and in the city especially to include bike lanes so that bikers can be safe. I saw an older gentleman on his bike one day, and he was around the U of R. He put a pool noodle on his handlebars and taped it down so that people on the left in cars could not get that close to him. I had a previous coworker who told me he's been hit 3 times off his bike. He wasn't seriously injured. Once he did get his elbow cracked. And I also work with folks from all over this community in the work that I've done over the years with the Department of Social Services in Monroe County. One of my coworkers in 2009, Bertina Ford, was crossing the street leaving work going to court. She was ultimately killed. She was there less than 2 years working. Our union, the Federation of Social Workers, we have a human service worker luncheon every year. We decided to name one of our awards after her. So we have the Bertina Ford Rising Star Award every year at that ceremony. Her parents always come. They greet whoever wins. Her father and her mother just still to this day are not the same people they were prior to that happening. So allowing that access and asking drivers to slow down, changing our behavior, Vision Zero even has me thinking about my driving behavior. I said, like this morning coming into work, the sign said 30, I was doing 32. I slowed myself down because of where I was. Anybody could come out in the street. And of course, I do not want to hurt anybody on a bicycle, walking, or in a wheelchair. I see people in wheelchairs sometimes using the bike lane when they can't be on the sidewalk. So we do have to make something to ensure our citizens are safe in this area. And I think Vision Zero is it.
Can I just follow up that one of those points you just made there with the way we kind of react as drivers when we are behind the wheel of a car? I say this not trying to be like Mr. Morally Superior guy. I'm going to try to point the finger at myself and say, I think for many years when I was driving, whether it was up and down Lake Avenue or anywhere, if I see a pedestrian who's not in a crosswalk, who I think is maybe kind of darting across the lane quickly and unsafely, most of the time I'd be like, oh, come on. Like, what are you doing? You know, and usually I'm going like 9 over the speed limit. Maybe I'm going 44 and a 35. Maybe if any police officers are not listening, maybe I'm going more. And that's not good to begin with, right? But I'm annoyed that a pedestrian who probably doesn't have the resources to have the car that I'm driving is just trying to get somewhere, but they're not using the crosswalk and they're impeding me or they made me brake. And I felt a sense of entitlement that this is supposed to be for the drivers. And I've tried now to check myself when I feel that way.
Your comment is very true, and we've all done it, especially in the wintertime. And I know that this plan includes making sure roads and sidewalks are cleaned better, because especially when you have to drive through or live in the city and the sidewalks are such a mess, all the pedestrians are now in the street. And that's when we do get huffy behind the wheel, because we're saying to ourselves, why don't they just get on the sidewalk? But you're not looking over at the sidewalk to see that there's 4 feet of snow and they're walking a 2-year-old or carrying a 2-year-old trying to get to the bus stop.
Or pulling a wheelchair or, yeah. Or,
correct.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But Evan, to that point, yeah. I just want to talk about your own acknowledged sense, yeah. sense of entitlement there. I mean, this is not about villainizing one side or another. It's not villainizing drivers. It's not villainizing people who are jaywalking or not using a crosswalk. If you read the plan, and I, you know, at some point I'd love for us to make sure that we actually call out each of the 10 points. But there are things like the pedestrian priority zones, where we're going to be doing some significant work around sidewalks and around crosswalks. And if we do all that work and people don't use the crosswalks, that's also a functional problem. This is for everybody, whether you're a biker, a walker, a bus rider, a driver, it doesn't matter who you are. The idea is that we all have to create a culture of safety, and here's policy priorities for us to work on, and that the city's gonna invest a lot of money in. And I gotta say, I'm very enthusiastic about doing this now with Senator Cooney as the new chair of the Transportation Committee, because we know that we have a lot of supporters, but certainly a supporter in Albany and him, and helping us bring some dollars home to pay for some of this incredibly expensive stuff. We can't build it and then not use it. So this is really about everybody participating.
So what the council member just mentioned, the 10 points, 10 priority actions. Let's take our only break of the hour, and when we come back, let's talk about those 10, if we could. Listeners should know exactly what we're talking about and how the implementation might happen. You just heard Mitch Gruber, member of Rochester City Council, Rich Perrin, commissioner for the Department of Environmental Services at the City of Rochester, Cody Donahue, director of policy and advocacy for Reconnect Rochester, Evelyn Evans, member of Black Girls Do Bike. We are right back talking about Vision Zero on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, the JEDS program is designed to help reform the lives of kids who have stolen cars, among other crimes. We'll talk about how it works. In our second hour, was there a spelling bee word that knocked you out when you were growing up? Is there still one word for me? It's separate. Well, a student from the Finger Lakes went all the way to the national competition, and we're going to talk to Ryan Query about that experience. This is all about Vision Zero this hour on Connections. And if you're just joining us, Vision Zero is about creating a community that has zero traffic fatalities, zero serious injuries, and is a more equitable, justice-based transportation network system. Not just drag strips up and down the lake avenues of the world, but asking drivers to concede a little bit, perhaps, of speed, and doing sometimes a redesign, sometimes a change in the culture. The 10 points, we're going to read them in just a second. If you want to learn more, I want to make sure listeners can follow along. cityofrochester.gov/vision0. Is that
yep.
correct? City of Rochester.
Correct.
cityofrochester.gov/vision0. So I'm going to quickly read the 10 points on the ROC Vision Zero priority actions. And then we're going to go into some specifics here with our guests. So here are the 10 points. Number one, the ROC Vision Zero Task Force creates a diverse committee of city departments and external stakeholders to advise work on street design, traffic safety, and potential funding opportunities. Number two, traffic safety champions. Create an inclusive education and communication strategy for drivers using state and national resources. The plan will emphasize the preventability of traffic incidents and partner with local organizations for education efforts. Number three, Safe Speed City Initiative, implementing 25 miles an hour. Lower speeds to reduce instances of serious and fatal crashes. Number four, Pedestrian Priority Zones, Targeted Enhancement Initiative, working with both county and state partners to lower speed in critical areas across Rochester to help reduce instances of serious and fatal crashes. Number five, the Safe Crossings City Initiative, enhancing marked crosswalks. Planning costs for this are supposed to be part of Safe Streets and Roads for All Initiative. Work will be done to establish spacing standards for signalized and non-signalized intersections, bus stops, and side streets with raised crossings utilized whenever able. Number six, you've heard about this one, the Bicycle Spine Network, continuing the work, establishing a 63-mile inclusive bicycle network with 19 miles already in place, predominantly along the Genesee Riverway Trail. Number seven, Winter Safe Streets with enhanced snow and ice removal. That initiative, I think our guest just talked about that. We'll talk more about that coming up here. Number eight, automated traffic enforcement, reviewing options related to automating speed reduction tactics. Lower speeds, reduce serious crashes, and save lives under the heading of this one. Number nine, Lake Avenue Enhanced, the advancing multimodal safety. We'll talk about what those modes look like coming up. And number 10, the ROC Vision Zero Report, issuing a comprehensive report featuring key metrics, including ongoing work by partners and the city within 6 months from the start of this effort. I think the ones that get everyone's attention is the sidewalks. We'll talk more about that. I mean, really good pedestrian areas for everybody. Certainly speeds. When you say safe city speeds, implementing 25 mile an hour, lowering speeds intentionally to reduce instances of serious and fatal crashes. Mitch and Rich, you want to start with, where are we going down to 25? Do we know?
Well, I would say that we have the predominant speed limit within the city of Rochester is 30 miles per hour. That's really our default. We have certain facilities where it's higher, 35 miles an hour. You mentioned Lake Avenue. And again, these are the posted speeds. As we start to look at this, you know, there's a really key driver behind this. And what it comes down to is if you look at it, according to the North American City Transportation officials, and there's various numbers out there, but an individual, a typical individual hit by a vehicle at 23 miles per hour has a 90% survival rate. If that vehicle is at 50 miles per hour, it's 25%. So this curve is not, you know, it's a fact. This is what happens. It goes up, right? And it increases at an exponential rate. So as we start to look at this, what we really want to say is, okay, to your point, there are certain, you know, you got to remember streets have different functions. You have your arterials, which are meant primarily for mobility, and then you have your local streets, typically residential streets that are meant for access. But when you look at that number and you say at 23 miles an hour, let's say it's 25, how much does it really go up? Even if it's 15%, that's still only 15%, which is significant if you're one of those 15%, but it's a lot less than what happens when you get up at 35, 40, 45 miles an hour. So that is the reasoning behind it. Now, what does it take? Well, again, as we talked about, none of these things can be done individually. And I think when you talked about the founder of the Vision Zero Network, that was so much of this, was to make sure that when we do this, we want to have it comprehensive, and that we're using all of these actions plus others. We want it to be collaborative. As Cody mentioned, there are multiple departments within the city that have a role in this from a public safety perspective. And then as I started out by saying, we want it to be equitable. So when we look at it, all of these projects are checking those boxes of equitable, comprehensive, and collaborative. The speed limit one is one of the five sort of key components of a safe systems approach. Safe speeds, for the reason I just mentioned. If you're not doing this, I really don't know how you're talking about having a serious Vision Zero initiative. I just don't, because this is the safe speeds. But again, as the council member mentioned, how we begin to make sure that there's an accountability with this. And this is the automated, you know, basically monitoring and then holding people accountable, not just for red lights, but their speeds while they're going down the streets. That's what we need to figure out. We need to do it in a way that respects privacy. And we also need to do it in a way that recognizes that this is going to take some time. We all talked about it, you know, the sense of entitlement. It's not going to happen right away. This is not about a fiscal element at all. It's not about that at all. It's about a safety element. And that's one of the reasons when I want to, because I don't really know how you talk about the lowering the default city speed limit to 25 miles an hour, but then not enforcing it, right? So I think it's really important to note that any revenues that are raised as part of this program go right back into the program. That's how it works. If it's raised because of Vision Zero, then we put it back there. And that helps to, I'll bring it, you know, sort of full circle to where we left off with, that's how we're going to help pay for some of these, along with getting the needed assistance from the state and federal governments, who for years were out, you know, promoting this. Again, this isn't a war on cars. They have a place, they have a very large place in terms of moving people. But until they're at that safe speed, We're not going to accomplish what we want to accomplish.
You want to add to that, council member?
Yeah, just to, I mean, to answer your question, the idea, as commissioner said, right now the default speed limit is 30. We want to make the default speed limit 25. So that doesn't mean there won't be some streets that maintain 30 or some streets that are higher. That's all part of the conversation that needs to happen. And that's really, these types of decisions are what the Vision Zero Task Force are going to help to create. But the idea is for the default to be 25. It will save lives. We know that someone hit at a speed of 25 has a higher chance of survival than someone who's hit at the speed of 30. And as he said, it just goes on and on from there. So that'll be the default. And I'm looking forward to talking about enforcement when we get an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that the survival rate, I mean, maybe the simplest, shortest takeaway for me here is you want to create a default speed limit for automobiles in which the majority of people who might be struck at that speed can survive it. I mean, that's
absolutely. I mean, that is the idea behind the safe systems approach, is that individuals, we're fallible. That's the fact. So we need to have a system that's forgiving. So not only those safe speeds, but also post crash care. How do we make sure that we're addressing that too? But you're right. I mean, you know, if you go back to that number from the North American City Transportation Officials, you know, at 23 miles per hour, 10% of people die. Go up 9 miles an hour, not even a full 10 miles per hour, and 25% of people will die. That's what happens. In just 9 miles, you're now at 150% higher. So there, with respect to the number of fatalities that will result. So that's really, really important for us to look at. And again, none of these things operate in a vacuum. All 10 of them are absolutely critical. And this is just round one. These are our first 10 priority actions. We've identified others that we have to begin to look at too. I also want to mention that, you know, this, while we've put this together, we adopted the active transportation plan in July of last year, I believe it was. It was last summer, and this was something that Mayor Evans was absolutely about. He was part of the National Mayor's Institute on Pedestrian Safety, very active member there, and he saw this, and he sees I think a key element of Vision Zero in the report that we do, which is, and everybody around this table can talk about it. And I come back to the Rhode Island DOT example. How many people that you know is an acceptable number? He hears those personal stories. And those are the things he's taking to heart and combining those with the idea being that we also have the data to support it as we've been promoting it. And I like a Brené Brown quote that I always like, which is, sometimes stories are just data with a soul. And I think the mayor has heard that, and he's heard that inherently there is something that we can and should be doing about this, and is saying, I'm going to make this a priority throughout the administration, because, as we noted, there's going to be other departments that are going to be integral to this.
Listeners, I want to know what you think about, let's just start there. How do you feel about speed limit going down wherever you live, whether it is Rochester or wherever what community you're in? How would you react if speed limits generally went down by 5 miles an hour, by 10? I'm curious to know if that would be a source of complaint, or if you'd say, look, we'll adapt. That's the right thing to do. And we can start there. But we're also in a moment going to be talking about some of these many other points on these 10 points of Vision Zero in Rochester. And if you want to weigh in on anything, listeners, you can email the program, connections@wxxi.org.
And I'll share while you're waiting for some questions there. my first year on council, which was 7 years ago, the Healthy Kids Coalition was actively pushing for a reduction in speed limits to 25, and there was virtually no political appetite to do it. I have a very, very strong belief that this is going to be something that people support across the board. It will require a message of home rule. We will need the state to ultimately approve this. It no longer does at all.
2 years ago, the state provided the authority to municipalities like the City of Rochester to take action. There are some traffic engineering studies that need to be done, but that's pretty much...
Well,
Commissioner Perrin.
Years ago, there was no political support, even thinking about how this would navigate through Albany. Now, we're at a point where even Albany has said municipalities can and should do it on their own. I mean, the reality is we're in a different place, and I really will be curious to hear what listeners say. We're going to have public forums about this. I suspect there's really strong support for doing hard, difficult things to make our city safer for people.
And it's 844-295-TALK if you want to call the program. Listeners, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994. Now, Cody, I want to just ask you a little bit about how you see implementation happening here. Some of it's political will. Some of it's just having money to do things. So what do you see?
Well, I think that we've always been advocating to Commissioner Perrin to dedicate budgetary resources within the department to quick build, low cost infrastructure that can respond to crashes. We interacted with City Council this year to look at the budget on that. But the reality is that we need to fundraise to the state and the federal government in order to pay for some of these priorities. And, Commissioner Perrin's team, to use a basketball metaphor, kind of hitting three-pointers right now. They got Safe Streets and Roads for All grants in December. And the state last Friday announced Transportation Alternatives Program funds. And this week, Climate Mitigation and Air Quality Program funds coming to Rochester. So these are important kind of pieces to funding the Vision Zero plan. Of course, long-term funding is critical to see that this becomes part and parcel of the way the City of Rochester does business on traffic safety. But we need to continue to build the capacity of city government to be able to be an attractive place to operationalize and implement and be an attractive place for federal and state authorities to continue to invest in Rochester. I will say that the bipartisan infrastructure law, this goes to Washington too, so Congressman Morelli and Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand have a role to play. The bipartisan infrastructure law has been one of the biggest investments in local infrastructure all around this country. And starting in January, no matter who's in charge of the White House or Congress, there will be a negotiation to reauthorize that law. And it's critically important that we all show up at the federal level to show how these projects have literally changed our city for the better, made it more livable for people walking, for people biking. And as we keep saying, this is not anything against cars. Vision Zero is going to make driving safer for drivers. Mm-hmm. And so we need to show up to say this law and this investment is critically important to be reauthorized. Maybe we can make some changes to make it even easier for local governments like the city to use this funding, such as eliminating local matches. There's a bill in Congress that we support through the League of American Bicyclists that would do just that.
All right, before I get to your phone calls, we've got quite a lot of feedback to share in a short amount of time. Let me just ask Evelyn, is there a number out of these 10 that stand out to you most that you say, if this is going to work, we have to do this?
Well, of course, number 6, the bike spine network. But it also includes really... all of them are important, but when I look at 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, which are the speed limit initiative, the priority pedestrian zones, the safe crossing, the bike span, and Spain, and then also the winter streets, Those are important because we know a lot of people who are, especially who live in the city and in some suburban areas. I see a lot of people walking where there are no sidewalks, no lane. They're walking on the grass or in the snow trying to get where they need to be. And that's when they're the most vulnerable.
So, Commissioner, does the city have the resources to more quickly and effectively not just plow the streets in the winter, but to get the sidewalks, such as where they are, to Evelyn's point, clear?
Yes, that's something that we're consistently working on. You know, I will go to Mayor Evans' mantra of we, not me. We have existing ordinances that say, you know, less than 4 inches of snow, you need, as it comes down in that one fall, it is your responsibility to clear the sidewalk in front of your property. And that applies not just to saying the owner has to do it, but somebody has to do it, and the owner will be held accountable. We are one of the few cities, and it's something that does take up, a more than modest amount of our budget. But we also actually go out and do the plowing of sidewalks ourselves at 4 inches or more. So we're out there with contractors and our own staff clearing these sidewalks. That's absolutely critical. I would say we don't get as many events, or at least we haven't over the last couple of years. And snow, to some degree, is the great equalizer when it comes down heavy for everybody, whether you're in a vehicle or whether you're, you know, not. But again, whenever you're not, you're considered a vulnerable user. So no, maintaining access for all modes is absolutely critical. And it's one of the pillars of ROC Vision Zero, which is that all modes are equal. We have to be looking at it. So those sidewalks are a very big one. The other thing we're looking at, though, is that you have to remember there are operational considerations here. When we're going to look at some demonstration projects for bicycle protection, protecting, you know, protected bicycle lanes with low-profile barriers. Well, we've got to make sure that we have the appropriate equipment to be able to plow and to be able to remove that snow and ice. And so already we fabricate some of the parts ourselves so that we can put a rubber-tipped plow down and do the best we can on a sidewalk or a multi-use path or a cycle track in the winter, keeping in mind that those aren't built to the same specs as a street. So you put the equivalent of what you'd put on a street, you're not going to have a sidewalk when the snow melts. You're not going to have that cycle track there anymore. It's something that we're working on, but nothing is insurmountable. We have a cold weather climate. I always joke, sometimes I think we've gotten a little soft. We get a lot of complaints about, you know, snow, and it's like, well, okay, but this is Rochester. We're going to have to go out and do it. But in no way, shape, or form do I view that as an excuse or absolving us from not going out. So this particular action is in here because it's going to be a point of emphasis for everything that Evelyn just mentioned. She hit it right on the head.
And just for what it's worth, just to provide a little bit of context, our sister cities to the east and to the west of us regularly look at Rochester. I mean, I have council members calling and are shocked that we do any sidewalk removal at all. That is not what most cities are accustomed to doing. So I think there are people in Rochester who want to see us do more and better, and they should. They should always want better services from the city. But we're also starting in a much higher place than a lot of our other sister cities.
I know the advocates in Buffalo would love to see that. And can I say I'm so glad we're talking about snow on an 80-degree day. This is great.
Hey, got to be ready for anything. Hey, let me get to Jacob and Pia on the phone. Jacob first from Rochester. Hello, Jacob. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. During COVID, there were fewer cars on the road, and everyone ignored speed limits. Post-COVID, there are more cars on the road, and people still are ignoring speed limits. So by adjusting the speed limit, how would you enforce that new limit of being altered from what it currently is, and it's being ignored currently?
So how do you enforce that? Yeah, okay. Councilmember Gruber?
Yeah, so I know we're not going to have a lot of time. I mean, there's going to have to be a whole show about enforcement at some point. This is going to be a long process with a lot of public engagement. But the reality is that enforcement is down across the board. This is something that is true of most cities, and in part because police departments have vacancies in most cities. This is just a true reality right now. We do not have a particularly strong traffic enforcement part of our unit in our police department anymore. We just don't. We have over 80 vacancies, and that's not a place where there's a lot of opportunity. So when we talk about enforcement, we have two options. Continue to go down the path we're going, where right now you can any one of us can call five people, and one of those five people will have seen someone who just blew a red light today. It's just, it is everywhere all the time. You have to take 2-3 seconds before you go on green to make sure that no one's going to blow a red light. We all know, we all feel it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes. I agree.
So we can keep going down the road we're going and hope that that somehow we're going to get back to enforcement by filling 80 police vacancy positions, or we can start to think about the technology available to us. And so this plan includes an engagement process around automated enforcement. It is the only way. It's going to have to happen. And the trick is, how do we do it in a really effective way, and in a mindful way, and in a just way, and not in a way that is a cash grab for the city, and not in a way that is a tax on poverty. And that was the complaint about the last time the city of Rochester, well before my time, had red light cameras. And I'll just say two things before I pass the mic. One, the last time the city of Rochester did this, we did not have our own traffic violations bureau. There was no way for people to go plead down their own ticket. There was no way for the city to demonstrate any level of real interaction with a person who had gotten a ticket. And you often found people getting tickets for going 2 inches over the white line, right? Not even really committing a true infraction, but more like a rigid use of old technology. The second piece is that the state passed a law in 2019 that prevents anyone from getting their driver's license suspended due to non-payment of tickets. Anyone can go on a payment plan and make sure they keep their license so they don't have to lose their ability to go to work and earn a paycheck. There are tools in place now to make sure this is not a tax on the poor, that we have equitable distribution of any kind of technology that we use. And I would argue for the fact that we should have a process where the first, maybe even the second ticket are warnings for people. This is about changing behavior. It's not about finding people.
You want to add to that, Commissioner?
I think the council member hit, you know, the vast majority of it. But I think it's important to note that those warnings are to be issued and education is being provided. And that's our goal prior to assessing those fines. And this can be permanent installation. We can move the instrumentation around. But this does need to be in a very deliberate, transparent manner. And that's how we're going to get to this point of getting people to understand, and to the caller's point, I believe it was Jacob, that there are consequences to that action. We're hoping that the taste of the red light camera program and the way that was done, which we would never roll it out like that now, or even, I think, based on our principles, hopefully there's still not that taste in the mouth of, you know, people still have that taste in their mouth from that program, because it's really not relevant anymore. It's not what we're doing. It's not what we're about. And, you know, at the time we heard, well, this disproportionately impacts, these poor and primarily minority areas. And you look at it and you go, well, wait a minute. What about the pedestrians or bicyclists that would have been hit by the individuals doing this? So they're in those neighborhoods as well, and they're the more vulnerable ones. So we have to address that behavior. And I would say that just one last point, Evan, which is that the whole point of this automated enforcement is that it removes a large amount of the interactions between police and members of the community. And so this subjectivity of whether or not you did or didn't do it, no, this is fine-tuned instrumentation. You did it, but we're not going to do it in a manner where if you're sitting just on a stop bar, you're going to get a ticket because you ran a red light. That's not the case.
So when David in Rochester, who called in off-air to say he thinks lowering the speed limit is not going to do anything but give police another reason to pull over people of color, you think that is missing the point, it sounds like, Commissioner?
I think it is now. I think it is now. Absolutely. I mean, that was always the argument against the 25 mile per hour speed limit. I'm not going to debate law enforcement techniques. It's not my area. What I will say is that this makes that a non-issue. That's not how we're going to implement it.
I just want to say that comment is precisely what I heard from Assemblymember Gant, God rest his soul, when I brought this to him back in 2017 or 2018, and I think it's a very compelling argument. I think we're just in a different place right now. We are in a moment of crisis where it is getting increasingly dangerous. The one thing you've heard all of us say, it's not just to be a bicyclist or a walker, but to be a driver as well. It's increasingly dangerous. We have to do something. And so, look, we have to do it in the right way. The whole point of this plan and of having this Vision Zero task force is to do it mindfully and thoughtfully, and we encourage everyone to engage on it.
David says, arbitrarily reducing speeds on roads could be setting ourselves up for disappointment. Unless you modify the underlying streets to provide visual cues of the appropriate speed, drivers will drive at whatever speed the road looks to be safe. Fair?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it's one of the reasons that of that safe systems approach that serves as our foundation for how we want to do this is also having safe design. He's absolutely right. There's a saying, if you build roads like gun barrels, people drive like bullets. We have to provide those visual cues, but you know, originally, to your point, Evan, this is where it comes in. Say we want to narrow the roadway at certain points, right? We want to reduce crossing lengths and therefore times. We will choose to use, when it is warranted through various engineering analyses, we will do bump outs. Well, you know, we always get that. You're going to take up a parking space or two. Yeah. A parking space for an automobile. Yeah. But at the same time, it's not trying to, you know, discourage driving. It's trying to encourage driving that's going to be the way it should be for the context that it's in. It's context specific, and we want that speed down. So design has always been at the base of it, along with, again, as I mentioned, you know, the safe speeds. We also have to have safe vehicles, safe road users, and that post-crash care. And those are really the five pillars that we're using for Rock Vision Zero.
The caller can look at points 2, 4, and 5 in the plan and see that's exactly, we agree, it is a comprehensive plan.
And don't forget 9 for the re-envisioning Lake Avenue, because that's going to be a big redesign.
I also just want to add, in terms of equity, I think the equity piece on street design is there's been a historic underinvestment of infrastructure in disadvantaged communities. It's not a Rochester problem uniquely. This is nationwide. And so, you know, I think part of the equity component in rolling this out is, and we look at this at Reconnect Rochester, every time we comment on a street project, are we implementing the same systems of safety enhancements, safety improvements in all areas of the city so that similar streets are getting similar treatments no matter what part of the city they're in? So, you know, we want to make sure that there's equity in the way that the investment dollars are being spent on building.
I mean, as we wrap the program, it's clear to me every single time you implement something new from this, come on the show and we'll talk about it. Literally point by point. I apologize to Pia and listeners who emailed and I couldn't even get through. The last 20 minutes have been deluged. 90% of it is on speed limits, I will tell you that. People like Tracy, who said that our neighborhood streets in Swillburg and surrounding faster roadways are almost impossible to safely cross because drivers are doing it at excessive speeds. Our kids need to cross these roadways to get to RTS school bus stops. We as city residents appreciate what you're doing with Vision Zero. That's from Tracy. So come back, all of you, when you implement step by step, and you are all welcome here. Rich Perrin from the City of Rochester, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Services, Mitch Gruber, member of Rochester City Council, Evelyn Evans, member of Black Girls Do Bike, Cody Donahue from Reconnect Rochester, thanks to all of you for being here. cityofrochester.gov/VisionZero. We'll talk to you tomorrow.